You are listening to a message from Thrive Community Church, a church located in Southwest Florida. For more info, visit us at thrive-fl.org.
All right. Welcome. It's good to have you here. This is our fourth Sunday in this message series, and it's the last one. Are you going to miss it? No, it's too convicting, huh? I know. What am I going to speak about if I can't lie, gossip, criticize, or complain? There ain't much left. No, I don't think that's the case. And I think we're going to find that out today as well. But it's been a great series. I think it does. Our words are powerful. Our words really speak. I'm not sure if actions or words are more important. You know, they say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is such baloney. Baloney. And especially when it comes to gossip today. But before we get to that, we're going to pray, okay? Lord God, this day is yours, and we want you to inhabit this place and this message. Lord, I want the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth to really be acceptable to you, that you are going to be speaking through me into our hearts and lives in such a way that this message does bring about some transformation for us all, Lord. Because so that our words that we speak to our children, to our spouses, to our neighbors, that they are words of life and truth and love, that words that are encouraging, and maybe they are words of correction, but for the sake of, Lord, building up in the end, that they are words that really do reflect the language you speak and how you speak about us and this world and from your reality, Lord God. We pray today that your Spirit would be upon us, that you'd open our ears to truly hear you. Not me, the message, or any of that stuff, but you, Lord, that we need to hear from you. And I pray that that's the case across this entire area, Lord, all the churches in this area, that your gospel is proclaimed and we hear you clearly today and we receive with our two ears into our hearts and lives what you have to say, and that you create a movement, a revitalization throughout the churches in Southwest Florida, so that those who right now are so confused, who haven't heard you, who don't know you, who aren't sure of you, who aren't quite there yet, and who are speaking all sorts of opinions and words, Lord, that just clutter, there's so much static out there, Lord, that you get through to them too, through our lives, that they would see the truth of who you are with the words that we say and how we live in such a way that they meet you this week through us. So Lord, bless this message today, and that this series just comes home so that we be a community here at Thrive of those who speak like you speak, who respond to what you have said. Lord, that's what we want. In Jesus' name, amen. Kind of as a springboard, in a sense, or a start of our series today is going to be the words from James. I don't know about James, though. No. We have a James in our congregation. Were you named after this book, by the way, James?
No, not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit? Well, it's a good book to be named after because it's a book of wisdom. It's very much like the book of Proverbs, and we're going to be looking through a number of Proverbs today as well, okay? But this book of James is very wise and very blunt. Now, he doesn't use the word gossip in here. That's what we're going to speak about today, but that's what he's talking about. This is what he says, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor?" Ouch. Okay, ouch. We're going to get there, okay? Hey, but I want to tell you what's going to happen next week. I'm really excited about our next series because we're going to be getting into a series from the book of Galatians on freedom, what freedom really means, what freedom is all about. That's that next slide there, I think. It says Galatians on it. Is it not there? There it is. Okay. I was just going like, what? Okay. Galatians. It's not a video. Okay. It's just a slide. There's a video coming up. okay? But not this one. And it's choosing freedom every day. We're going to be going through this summer. And of course, you know, July 4th comes up. We celebrate freedom in America. We think we know what freedom is. But I'm telling you, and I'm being a little, you know, chip on the shoulder here about Christians. But Christians understand freedom. We know what freedom is. We know what freedom is from, and we know what freedom is for. And what we see often as freedom in this world is either licentiousness or it really is bondage. It's bondage. Do you know? We're going to talk about freedom, and we're going to go through this book from beginning to end, not covering every exact verse, but all the way through the summer, and I think it's going to be good for us. It's a back-to-the-basics book. It's about how Christians are truly free and what that means. I'm looking forward to that next week. But now we're on gossip, okay? We're on gossip. Do you know what gossip is? You probably... And I have a feeling some of you here, you probably know someone who does a bit of gossiping, and don't elbow the person next to you, okay? Others of you have probably heard some gossip recently, and a few of you may have spoken a few words of gossip. And that kind of happens. So why does it happen? Why are we so caught up into it? Why? Because I think Proverbs puts it well. It says in Proverbs 18:8 that rumors are dainty little morsels that sink into one's heart. Do you know how that goes? You're sitting there and you're talking to some people, then all of a sudden they say, hey, did you hear? You know? And then, I can't believe, but this is what, and then I heard from, and, you know, and then they said, and then they, and it's just so easy to get into that. It's kind of like waking up in the middle of the night and having that little, and going downstairs, nobody sees you, and you go and you pick out that piece of chocolate. Do you know how that works? Maybe you don't, okay, but I do. But anyways, the idea is it's just like a dainty little morsel. It's so easy to fall into. It's so easy to fall into it. And for instance, it can be very humorous. It happens all the time in the office. I think this is my son's favorite show, and I'm starting to get to like it. But I cannot stand it at the same time. And you might go like, oh, Michael, he is so juvenile, he is so immature, and that rumors are just about that high school-ish kind of, until you've probably been stung by a rumor or gossip or somebody saying something about you in a negative way. And then you realize it's much more serious than what we just saw here in that video. Okay, so what we're going to do today is we're going to cover two main points, only two. 2 points. Of course, I'm dividing them all by 3 points. So, but we're going to try to go fast because it's really pretty easy. But the 2 points are the hurt and then the help. Okay, and each one we're going to talk about. Okay, so first of all, the hurt. What does gossip hurt? Who does gossip hurt? Okay, I think it's pretty obvious. It hurts the object of gossip. Now, I use the term object right away because I'll tell you that's what happens when you gossip about a third person. In family systems theory, what you're doing is creating a triangle. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It's like you and me are talking about a third person who's not there. It's a triangle, 3 points. And what happens when I create a triangle and talk about another person who's not there, I am usually objectifying them, turning them into an object, a thing to be dissected and inspected and ridiculed and dismissed. And that's what usually happens in gossip. So it, first of all, the object, the person of gossip. Now, sometimes in Christian circles, you know how gossip usually comes up in Christian circles? A prayer request. I've got to share with you, I've got a prayer request. You know, Michael, well, I heard that they're having some problems in their marriage and that, you know, this is going on and that's going on. And so I just want you to pray for, and then all of a sudden that prayer, you're just gossiping. It just turns into God. It sounds spiritual. Now, another way that we kind of cover up and don't realize we're doing it at some times is because, well, it's true. It's true. What I'm telling you is true. Here's the point I think Craig Groeschel makes. It's a valid point. Everything that is said must be true, but not everything that is true must be said. Do you get that? Do you get that? I am seriously, doesn't have to all be said. In fact, if it isn't something constructive, isn't helpful, if it doesn't really, just shut up, okay? Martin Luther, a long time ago, the Reformer, he looked at the Ten Commandments. One of the commandments happens to be, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, okay? And what does that mean? And he explained it. He said, we should fear and love God that we may not deceitfully belie, betray, slander, or defame our neighbor, but defend him, speak well of him, and put the best construction on everything. Do you get it? Maybe that's the word that you needed to hear today, that not everything that is true needs to be said, and that our real goal in bearing false witness, you don't just bear false witness when you say false things, but when you say things in a way that are demeaning or slanderous, or in some way that you are not in the positive way, defending or speaking well of, putting the best construction on someone. Boy, you know. So, gossip, when you objectify a person, it can cause some real problems. And some of you know that. You probably know what this proverb from chapter 16, verse 28 really means. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. And something has been said, something has been shared, and you've lost a friendship over it. Or a relationship, or you're alienated from somebody. Maybe you shared with somebody when you were in high school that you had a crush on so-and-so, and you wanted to keep it just between you and your friend, and then all of a sudden the whole school knows about it. And the crush isn't even real anymore, but you feel hurt. It might be much more serious than that. You actually had a confidant. You confided that you are struggling in your marriage. And you wanted to have a friend to speak to, and you confided that in them. And then all of a sudden, that turns into a prayer request that turns into, and all of a sudden, throughout, all of a sudden, 12 different people know it. And in the end, your spouse finds out, and it all blows up in your face. That's how gossip can hurt the object, the one spoken about in gossip. Gossip also, though, hurts the listener. And you go, what? The listener? How is that? Hey, do you realize there's no such thing as gossip if nobody listens to it? If the tree falls in the forest, in this instance, and nobody's there to hear it, does it make us... For gossip, when the oxygen is taken out of the room, when nobody's listening to it. Okay? This is what Proverbs 17:4 says, an evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. Or you could say it in a less blunt way than the Proverbs say it. What happens when you listen to gossip, you know, is you're actually promoting it. Okay? Craig Groeschel says, whatever you permit, you actually promote. So if you are listening to someone talk about it and you're just letting it go, it's amazing how that can grow. And you're basically giving them permission to say it. And if you're giving permission to that person gossiping about that situation, what do you think they're going to say about you when you're not there? Okay? So who does gossip hurt? Well, do you realize as well what happens when you gossip with somebody? You're creating a false intimacy between the two of you about a third person who's not there. And it's like as if you've got now something to share. But it's a false sense of intimacy. It's a false sense of friendship. And it's really based on something that's not good. And it doesn't actually benefit the listener. It doesn't benefit the object of gossip. And thirdly, it doesn't even benefit the speaker. I'm not sure if you know someone who's a gossip, who has gossiped a lot or says things. Do you ever hear somebody speaking like that and go like, I want to be like them? I don't think anybody does. Even if they're saying something true or if they're speaking in one form or another. See, what happens if I share gossip, I am jeopardizing my reputation. I am jeopardizing, am I a faithful, trustful individual? Is somebody, am I trustworthy? You can work your whole life on your reputation, be a hard worker, be someone who shows up on time, does the job, does more than the job, does all sorts of great things, is excellent on so many levels, but just speaking words that are defaming of others or belittling of others behind their back can ruin your reputation like that, and it's hard to get it back. Proverbs 25 says it this way, a man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a war club or a sword or a sharp arrow. Trusting in a treacherous man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth or a foot that slips. So let me tell you, if I hear someone gossiping, at least I should be, many times I'm thinking, so if you're saying that about so-and-so who's not here, what are you talking about me when I'm not around? And on top of that, I think, I better watch what I say in front of you because I don't know how that's going to get out in one form or another. Isn't it fascinating? Supposedly, gossip is creating us closer together because we're talking about someone else, and it actually divides everyone and splits everyone apart. And here's the thing about gossip, lying, criticizing, complaining, all of this. What's the problem with our big, fat mouth is the fact that we have a big, fat, broken, sinful heart. Because Jesus said it this way, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I am showing who I really am with the way I'm speaking about others and how I'm handling things. And it might feel good in one sense because, see, what I'm doing is often, like James says, I'm judging the other person I'm speaking about. I'm criticizing. I'm speaking ill of them in some form or another, even if it's true. And somehow I'm saying, you know, when they are weak, then I am strong. When I can push them down, I can feel a little better about myself. And do you realize what also is happening when I gossip? When I can kind of look at them and talk about their lack of fashion sense or their problem that they seem to have with social media and they can't stop it, or their problem with how they spend their money and how it's all over the place and I can't believe this and that and the other thing. When I can talk about their marriage and when I can talk about their relationships and when I can talk about all that stuff, then I don't have to look at myself. And I don't have to see the problems I have. And then I can feel a little better then, and I make sure that I don't change. Gossip actually makes things stay the way they are in my life as well. And it hurts me because then I do not grow up. I don't mature. So, it hurts the object, the listener, the speaker, but here's the help. We're going to have 2 points under the help that are just good advice, and then a third point that is such good news that I think gets to the whole heart of the matter. So, A, just guard your ears, you know? Guard your ears. I came across a webpage when I was preparing this message. It was called The Power of Positivity, and on it was about psychology and how you can, with one simple question, usually, in most instances, stop gossip from happening. Do you know what that question is? Here it is. Why are you telling me this? Did you hear about Tom the other day? Why are you telling me this? And it makes them think twice and say, are you telling me this so that we can go to Tom and try to solve this problem? Are you telling me this so I can be helpful in this situation? Why are you telling me this? And you might think, oh, wow, that's great psychology. That's great advice. Do you realize there's a genius behind that advice? It goes all the way back to Jesus in Matthew chapter 18. I don't know if you know this passage, but he basically says, hey, when you have a problem with somebody, what do? You go directly to that individual. You don't talk to about them to somebody else. You go to that person. And that's what you're trying to do. That's what psychologists will even tell you, is that you close the triangle by saying, why are you telling me this? Are we here to help this person, or are we just talking about them to keep things the way they are? And we try to solve problems and create less of a triangle and bring about resolution just by that simple, watch your ears when you hear it, ask that question, okay? Secondly, guard your ears, A. B, close your mouth. Seems simple enough, doesn't it? Some people will not stop. You know, they're going to keep going at work or wherever in your neighborhood, and they just won't. So you might have to walk away from them at times, but the one thing I can do for sure is just keep my mouth shut about whatever they shared, because I am not going to take it out of context. I don't even know if it's accurate. I don't know if it's true. I'm not sure exactly why they shared it with me. And so I keep my mouth shut. That solves a lot of problems. In fact, we're going to I need your help today. We're going to memorize a Bible passage. Very simple, okay? And it's, I took NRSV, New Revised Standard Version, because I thought it was about the simplest, okay? To watch over mouth and tongue. Can you say that with me? To watch over mouth and tongue. Okay, let's try. To watch over mouth and tongue, okay, is to keep out of trouble. Can you say that? Is to keep out of trouble. Okay, let's try that again. To watch over mouth and tongue is to keep out of trouble. Take that off the screen and let's try it. See if we got it memorized. Can you? So we don't have to read it? To watch over mouth and tongue is to keep out of trouble. You memorized a Bible verse. It might be the first one ever for you, but that's great. It's a good, and it's very simple. Watch your mouth, watch your tongue, stay out of trouble. You know, isn't that interesting? But it'll help you in business. It'll help you in your neighborhood. Just don't get involved in that spider, oh, the web we weave, you know, in the idea of gossip. Congratulations. So guard your ears, shut your mouth. But the most important thing I'm going to share today, more important than anything we shared, you can forget about everything else up to this. And that is the good news, the gospel, not the gossip, and that is trust God's reality. And we're going to talk about what that reality is. Gossip, like I said, claims, I am strong because I make you look weak. That's what it's really about. Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? Don't you? I'm playing the superiority game over someone. But the gospel of Jesus Christ says that when I am weak, then I am strong. I am strong through Christ who strengthens me, not through my own strength. And when we start to recognize, I don't need to feel stronger or better than anyone else because I've got a God who speaks over me. I love what Paul Maxwell said. He says, gossip is the opposite of how the Son speaks to the Father about you. Did you ever think about that? Jesus Christ speaks to the Father about you. And what he says is the opposite of gossip. It's the opposite. Jesus doesn't speak words of judgment or accusation. He doesn't go to the Father, oh, I can't believe John Roth again today. I guess I called him my, you know, my brother, but Father, can you, he is just so. And do you know what happened to him the other day? And did you see that? And did you see, he doesn't speak like that. Do you realize the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in perfect harmony and perfect communion with one another only and always are speaking of you. And they're always speaking words of love and truth and power, that the Holy Spirit, it says, intercedes for you in the book of Romans with groans too deep for words. He's for you. He is praying for you. When you can't even pray for yourself, he is praying for you. And the Son, it says in the book of Hebrews, is your high priest. He is the bridge. He is the advocate. Do you understand what the advocate is? An advocate is one who speaks up for you, who defends you, who speaks well of you, who puts the best construction on everything about you, who takes your place, who is your kinsman redeemer, the Bible will say. Those are the things. And the Father, it says in John chapter 17, the Father has the same love for you as he has for his own Son, it says. Isn't that amazing? So what we find in the gospel, in the reality of our God and how he speaks about it, it's the opposite of what any gossip is, about any lies, any criticism, any complaining. Those are not in his inter-Trinitarian, if you want to say, vocabulary. Hey, anybody here this week, there was a Greek word that made the spelling bee final, right? 500 and some different people were eliminated, and this one kid who was, what, 10 years old, spelled the word koinonia. That was the winning word, koinonia. And it's directly from the Greek. So the Greek is above koinonia, and the English is below. Do you see? It's just a transliteration. Do you know what koinonia means? You do not. It's what we've been talking about. It's called common union. It's called the intercommunion of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is called the fellowship that Christians are welcomed into. And this is why we've talked about lying and you know, all of, is because that's not koinonia. Koinonia is the perfect fellowship that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have had from eternity. Koinonia is what you are invited into by the Son. You are welcomed into the Trinity to have the same fellowship they have with one another. That is what our God does for us, and he does it at great cost. It wasn't an easy thing to welcome us in, to want us back, because we've been speaking lies and criticizing and complaining and gossiping and speaking poorly of our own God. And he welcomes us in by stretching his arms wide upon a cross and having a break in his own fellowship in order to give us that fellowship and that union with him. And when we start to realize that God wants for us, how God speaks of us, how God looks at us, how God never says, never complains or lies or deceives us. He never speaks in any way that is critical of us. But he speaks his words of truth and love over us. Oh, corrects and trains and disciplines, but with a love, then all of a sudden, I don't need to speak that way either. This is not the family language. This is not how we speak. This is not what we're going to be about. And I don't have to put other people down to feel, because I know I have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works. I am his workmanship. I'm a masterpiece, according to Ephesians. And I can know that, according to Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and that's what God thinks of me. And that I am redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, who is my advocate. I'm always carrying that about. And that's reality. That's reality. Not my fault. That's the reality. That is reality. And when that's my reality, why do I need to treat anybody differently? So, gossip basically says, I'm only strong when I make other people look weak. But the gospel says, in your weakness, Christ's strength is perfected. Would you please pray with me?